One day, sit in His presence moment by moment until forever passes by. And then forever passes by again. And forever passes by again, and again. And then eternity has just begun. Amen. I love that Jesus promises us eternal life. Eternal life. He doesn't promise us forever life because we only understand forever in regard to the life that we live on this earth. But He promises us eternal life. And I love it. One day, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we will spend an eternity with God, the presence of all His heavenly beings and all those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and in the presence of the Lamb for all eternity. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, you get to 1 Corinthians and take a right. You go 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Then you're going to do a little trick that I learned when I was young, and I'm going to help you out. Go eat popcorn. Right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So when you go, you'll get to Galatians and keep going. Right? One more book, and you'll get to Ephesians. Everybody there? See, that's so childish. Man, that's helped me more times than anything I can think of. I like to teach you things. And I'm thankful that somebody taught me that once upon a time so that I would know where everything laid out in the Word of God. And I wasn't real smart, so it helped. So if you have your Bibles, we're at Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to continue talking in respect to the blessings that God gives us. God's great blessings. Those things that you can't really put a price tag on. Those things that everything that we have in our earthly possession, they just kind of shrink those things, the blessings of God. How many of you, we've talked about peace, we've talked about love, we've talked about the forgiveness, we've talked about hope. How many of y'all would trade that for anything this world has to offer? Let me tell you something. If you would trade those things for anything this world has to offer, you are the biggest fool that I have ever seen. We're going to talk about something this morning, and in fact, it's going to be more than a something. It's going to be a someone. We're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about how He, the Holy Spirit, and please don't ever do this around me. Don't refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. I'll call you out. A dog's an it. All right? The Holy Spirit is He. In fact, it's capital H-E-E. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ which God has sent into us, who are believers here today, to live and to indwell in us and to endue us with supernatural power. I know that freaks some of you out. I'm not talking about Superman. Nobody's going to the phone booth today and can come out with a cape and a big S on your shirt. We're going to talk about it as the blessing of the Holy Spirit because many times people forget that the Holy Spirit indwells them. And then you miss out on one of the greatest blessings that God could ever give us. Himself. Watch this. Hold on. You can shout if you want to. Himself living inside of me. Now, I know what you think. You think, is that real? Yes, it's real. Whose voice do you think that is that you hear that you used to not hear? Because you don't hear it on the outside. You hear it on the inside. So here's the thing. As we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want you to see what God is doing through His Spirit. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about it from the angle of what a great blessing the Holy Spirit is to us. I promise you this. I don't know where I would be without Him. Because my flesh continually wants to revert back to what my flesh is comfortable doing. You know what that is? Same thing as you're sinning. Right? How many of you say my flesh finds comfort in sin? Huh? That's why my flesh exists, to sin. Were it not for the Holy Spirit moving into my life and convicting me about sin, I would just do what I've always done. But I'm thankful that I don't have to do what I've always done because the Spirit of God lives inside of me. So let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. And I promise you, I could preach Ephesians and Romans every Galatians. I could preach all those things every single week, but I'll try not to. We're going to look at just this text here today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Jesus has spoken to Paul, and Paul has learned some things. And he's now speaking those things to the church. He's going to talk about the Holy Spirit here. He's going to first talk about how we've been chosen. That's not going to be our message today. We've covered that a few months ago. So everybody who gets just fired up about that, don't get caught there. You got fired up about that. That's a given. I want you to get fired up this morning about the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, there'd never be a choosing, there'd never be an election, there'd never be predestination, there'd never be any kind of conversion or redemption. So don't get lost in the first part. That's what all the hyper-Calvinists do. Yeah, we're right! No, you're not. You're wrong about some things. I promise you. We're all going to get straightened out one day because we know in part, we see in part. So don't miss the message here at the end because that's where we're going to camp. Everybody clear? All you five-pointers? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're in good shape. You're ahead of the game. You're following Jesus and you're not following a man. You're following the God-man. Those of you who are not getting any of this right now, it's not for you. You have been thrown into confusion with needless arguments. He says, in Him we were also chosen. It's not debatable. It says it. Having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ, who is He speaking of? Y'all say it with me, the apostles, were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal. Wow. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. I'm not what you just read. But isn't that good? Hey, I'm going to get there in a minute. Because I'm supposed to be in chapter 2. Watch this. I told you I could preach all this and I might just do it before it's over with. Let's go to chapter 2. Because on our second point, we're going back to chapter 1 when I just left. We're going to hammer that again. Hey, you know what? Hey, here's the thing. There used to be a time in my life from this point forward, I'm just freaked out. It don't freak me out anymore. God wanted to say that first. I don't know why. Because we just read He works all things according to His will. So watch this. Now go back to 2. Y'all probably seen that on the screen. Poor Aaron's back there going, what is Kirk doing? Watch this. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised. He's talking to us, those of us who were Gentiles. He said, you were called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, right? Excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of the Lamb. This is where we pause for a shout. He says, you were far away, separated from God. You've been brought near by the blood of the Lamb. How close are you to God right now in your life? Huh? As close as you'll ever be. As close as Jesus is to the Father. Why? You've been brought near by the blood of the Lamb. I love that. People, you hear it on Christian radio and it makes me turn the station.
When I listen to this particular radio station, I get closer to God.
Well, why did Jesus come to die if you can get closer to God listening to that particular radio station? It's by the blood of the Lamb that I've been brought near to God. And that's it. Y'all never be able to listen to Christian radio again. You're going to be mad at me. For He Himself is our peace. Who has made the two one, the two that He's talking about, the Gentile and the Jew, He's made them one in Christ and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to be reconciled, both of them to God through the cross by which He put to death their hostility. I could preach this, I promise, but that's not where I'm going. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, that's the Gentile, and peace to those who were near, that's the Jew. For through Him we both have access to the Father, watches, by one, say it with me, Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together. Watch this. What a blessing. Built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise and glory to the Lamb. Here's the thing. I want to stop and I want to break all this down. I want to eventually get back to Ephesians where I started. But I want to talk to you today about the blessing of the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit living in us is God making His dwelling in man. How amazing is that? Here's the thing. It's not amazing to you if you're self-righteous. You think, well, God should make His dwelling in me. But if you're like old Kirk Hall, and that's who I am, if you don't know me, nice to meet you. Kirk Hall, in and of himself, before Christ, was a scoundrel. And God could never, ever, ever, ever live inside and make a dwelling in Kirk Hall by His Holy Spirit. I assure you, God would never find place in my wicked, evil heart. Ever, ever, ever. Because it was in direct opposition to who He is and what He stands for and to His holiness, His majesty. He could not. He would have to defy who He is. Here's the thing. He sent His Son Jesus to cleanse me of my sin, and I've been made near by His blood. I've been cleansed by His blood. Therefore, God is making me into His dwelling. Hallelujah, praise and honor to the Lamb. Through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. Now, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I could talk about a lot of things when you look at a couple of chapters in Ephesians. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit being the blessing that oftentimes we forget. How He does dwell inside of us for certain reasons. One of those reasons, the first reason we're going to talk about, is to be our guide. The second thing is to be our guarantee. That's when we get back to Ephesians again. The third thing, our go-between. How many of you think that you have a go-between? That the Holy Spirit, watch this. When you don't even know what to say to God, He's already ahead of the game saying it for you. Are you listening? You don't even know what to do. He's already taking care of what's best for you, working out for the will and the glory of God. He's our guide, our guaranteed, our go-between, and He's our guardian. We're going to look at all these things today. I hope you got a little time. We're going to break it all down. Number one, He's our guide. Look at John chapter 14 if you have your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you're new with us today, we use our Bibles here. New concept. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 14. I'm going to look at 16 through 19, and I'm going to jump over to 25 through 27 as we talk about the Holy Spirit being our guide. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful because here's the thing. When I got saved, guess what I didn't know how to be? I didn't know how to be a Christian. I didn't know how to be a godly guy. I didn't know how to do the right thing. Did you know that? How many of you, before you were Christian, you didn't know those things? Right? I'm not talking about going to church and being programmed to learn Christianese and all the cool churchy lingo so that you can play the game. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real change, the change that the Holy Spirit brings in you, where He teaches you how to move from godless and wicked and evil and to move into the will of God for your life and into obedience. That's what I'm talking about. And I promise you this. Listen to me. Please pay attention. No man can teach you that. Man can only point you in the right direction. I promise you, if you were a believer here today and you were born again, you have a guide. Watch this. Pay attention. Y'all listening? I'm not your guide. Everybody understand that? I am a tool for the guide to use so that He can guide you. But I can't make you do anything. I can't convince you of anything. But if you're born again here today, the Spirit who lives in you can. And so as we look at this, understand Jesus is going to promise His disciples something. Going to promise them a guide. Verse 16, He says this. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor," or comforter. We can even gather the word guide. "To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him." That's why they think we're crazy. What do you mean you're being led by something I can't see or feel or I don't hear from? But you know him, for he lives with you and will be, watch this, in you. He said like this, because he lives with you. Picture I'm Jesus sitting around with his disciples. I'm here with you now. And I'm going to live in you. He's here with you, and he's going to be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Jesus says, the Spirit that is going to quicken me to life again will be in you. Because I live, you too will live. Who's he talking about? Here in context, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. We jump down to 25 for the sake of time, because he's going to teach a couple of lessons in between. He says this in verse 25. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you how many things? Some things? Few things? He says the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We talked about peace a few weeks ago. It's impossible to have peace without the Holy Spirit. It's funny that Jesus says Holy Spirit and then he tells them he's going to give you peace. So here's the thing. As we think about this, we talk about the Holy Spirit in reference to him being our guide, teaching us, leading us. Leading us into what? The will of God. Leading us into righteousness. Leading us into the plan that God has preordained. We'll see in Ephesians the good works that he has already prepared for us to do in advance. It is the Holy Spirit who God is using inside of us, who is the Spirit of Christ. He is leading us into these things. He's our guide. When you find yourself in this situation, Christian, listen to me. When you don't know what to do, before you Google it, are you listening? Watch this. Before you call the church office to set up an appointment with me, listen, I'm not scared of an appointment. Here's the thing. If anybody's ever been in an appointment with me, you know what I do? You need to listen to what God's saying. And God's speaking, if you're born again here today, he's guiding you by the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives in you, that blessing that Jesus promised his disciples in John chapter 14 that was going to happen. He's our guide. I've already said this before, I'll say it again. I was a part of a denomination for years that didn't have a guide because they were afraid of their guide. Oh no, where will he lead us? Hey, watch this. According to Scripture, if you're following the Spirit, he'll lead you right into the middle of God's will. Oh, wouldn't that be a new concept in church? Hey, if you're following the Holy Spirit here today and you're a born-again believer, let me tell you this, he'll lead you right into obedience for the glory of God. Everybody's always been worried about, well, what if he leads me somewhere where I don't want to go? You'll want to go by the time you get there if you're truly born again. Because I promise you, the Holy Spirit's led me places that I didn't want to go, but by the time I got there, that's where I wanted to be. Why? Because that's where God wanted me to be. He's my guide. But what we do, we leave him out of the equation, because if we leave him out of the equation, then we don't have to follow. We don't have to be obedient then. Right? I get so frustrated, man, we would be in song service singing about the Holy Spirit. We'd read over passages of Scripture like this where we ought to get excited about the Holy Spirit. We weren't allowed to get excited about him. Here's the thing, folks. He is the part of the Trinity that lives inside of you. You ought to get excited about him and not care about if people think you're crazy for following him. He's our guide. And here's the thing. If you're walking around this earth and you're a born-again believer here today and you are not yielding to the Holy Spirit as your guide, you are wandering aimlessly, doing nothing productive for the kingdom of God. You ever been to that church? We have programs because programs are what we do. I love it. All these churches advertising about all the fun they have and all the cool things they have. Here's the thing. We don't have much around here. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit living in us. You want to be part of that? Come on, get on board. And what's crazy is we don't have to entertain people, but the Holy Spirit is free to guide them into eternal life in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And watch this. Lives are being changed because the Holy Spirit, our guide, is leading us to obedience with evangelism and preaching the gospel, and people are hearing the word, and that word is made into faith, and then they believe because the Holy Spirit is drawing them to believe. He's our guide. How many of you who are born again here today, you say the Holy Spirit has been my guide since day one of Christianity? You better raise your hand, because you didn't get saved unless He guided you to it. You listening? Pay attention. He's been your guide since before you knew He was your guide. Why'd you stop letting Him guide you? It got a little squirrely, got a little crazy. Folks at work started talking bad about me. One old gal called me a holy roller. It bothered me. They're going to call you all sorts of things. You are going to look like you were out of your mind, because you are, when the Holy Spirit is your guide. Here's the thing. I'm thankful that I can get out of my mind, because my mind is depraved. My mind leads me to sin. But the mind of Christ, which we find in the Holy Spirit, which lives in us, leads me into righteousness. He's our guide. Don't ever forget it. Don't take it for granted. If He's not your guide here today, you got one of two problems. You're not truly born again, or you're born again and you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit, therefore quenching the work that God desires to do in your life. Here's what you do. Stop either one today. Repent and turn to Christ as the Spirit leads you. He's our guide. Number two. Y'all don't care if I preach a little bit today, dude, because I'm getting fired up here. He's our guide. We're going back to Ephesians chapter 1. Cue that one back up for a maestro. I'm sure this time. Y'all only knew what it was like. Get up here and have 14 different scriptures you want to look at. See Ephesians chapter 1 and jump out at you. You just can't not read it. Ephesians chapter 1. We see He's our guide, but number 2, He's our guarantee. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Seems like we already read this today. Huh? New Age folks say we just had a deja vu. I said y'all had a dumb preacher who read the wrong text first. But it all worked out. Watch this. In Him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal or deposit, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Here's what that just said. Watch this. It just said this. There are others who are going to be called and chosen as well. Pay attention. While you're waiting for this, enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, because the fellowship of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, here's the thing, that is your deposit guaranteeing you that no matter how long we have to wait, no matter how long we have to wait, when I sense the Holy Spirit inside of me, empowering me, you know what that reminds me of? There's still some who need to come to Christ. He's not finished yet. And so, Lord, I don't want to get in the way because I'm in a hurry. I don't want to get in the way of that. What I want to do is I want to patiently enjoy the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who is my deposit guaranteeing that one day Jesus Christ is going to return to harvest the earth from all of God's people. And I'm going to be one of them because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. He says He's our deposit, our guarantee. Watch that for a second. Guarantee. Y'all let that word sink in for a second. Somebody told me this week that somebody, unfortunately, quoted a statistic at a youth Bible study. And they said this. He said, 70% of college freshmen these days are renouncing their faith their first semester. Here's the thing. Not if they're true believers. You know how many true believers renounce their faith their first semester? Zero. Zero, because there is a guarantee, a deposit that's living in them who God put there, the Holy Spirit, who will never, ever, ever abandon them or leave them. It is not their faith to begin with. It is the faith that was deposited in them through the Holy Spirit. So take your statistics and rework them a little bit. If you depart from the faith, watch this. You were not of the faith. Oh wait, Jesus kind of said it like this. They went out from us because they were not of us. He's saying this, don't get worked up about that. Those people who've turned their back on Jesus Christ, listen, I promise you this, if I wanted to turn my back on Jesus Christ, the guarantee the Holy Spirit who lives in me would not let me do it. Because I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. He is my master. And what is He doing? He's leading me into the will of God, whether I like it or whether I don't. Here's the thing. Guess what? I can fight it. That always works out good, doesn't it? Those of you who've been disciplined by the Lord. Huh? How's that working for you? Because here's the thing. His will is going to be done. Watch this newsflash. He's God. And you're not. And just like your daddy used to tell you, boy, you can do this the easy way. You can do this the hard way. But daddy was going to win, wasn't he? Huh? I guarantee about the time you heard that last belt loop when that thing went, you're like, whoop, winner, dad, da-da. Right, but it's too late. But the Holy Spirit is our guarantee, folks. We can't take Him for granted any longer. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, and some of you still struggle, right? Yeah, all of us. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, thank God that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Run to this altar. Get on. I would love to see people run to the altar to get on their face and humble themselves before God. You know what that shows me? People, oh man, I know they used to worry about me. I hear them, that boy's at the altar every week. I was. I'm too busy up here now. I probably would be now. The thing is, you know what? Those people who run to the altar, they get it. That their perfection doesn't rest on them. Their perfection rests on the guarantee, the deposit of the Holy Spirit who lives in them. And the Holy Spirit is doing what He said He was going to do. He is reaffirming to them, you are my child and my children. Do not act like this. I have brought this to your attention so that you can humble yourself and so that you can repent of this thing in your life that you know that I don't approve of. You say, well, how do I know that He doesn't approve of? Here's the thing. As a believer, hurt your feelings. You can't sin and not know it. Don't try that one. Well, I sinned, but I wasn't sure it was a sin. Well, the Holy Spirit take the day off? Huh? He did. He says He's on vacation. No, if it's truly sin. Now, I know there's been lots of people who want to guilt you throughout the ages with their legalistic ideology. I'm talking about true sin. Right? Don't feel bad just because your grandma said it was wrong. Right? If you wear a gold necklace and your grandma said, man, don't wear gold necklaces, it's not really sin. Now, maybe if it has that big old eagle charm on it or something, and you wear it out of your hairy chest, that would be sin. But the thing is, listen, don't feel guilty because your grandma makes you feel guilty. I'm talking about something deeper than guilt. How many of you know the Holy Spirit never brings guilt? What? Right, guilt's already been paid for, and the Holy Spirit gets that. Because the one who paid for it, it's His Spirit who lives inside of you. Guilt's been taken care of. He brings conviction. And I would to God that the Christians in America would learn the difference between guilt and conviction. Here's the thing. I've already been sentenced as guilty. But watch this. I've already been forgiven of all of my guilt. Past, present, future. The Holy Spirit, the guarantee inside of me who convicts me, is reminding me, you're not guilty because Jesus bore that. Now, don't take that in vain. Confess your sin and be honest, because that sin is the sin that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. So let's get real about it. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Because that sin that I committed was one of those nails. It was one of those blasphemous statements from those Roman centurions. It was that cat of nine tails or one of those articles. And I admit that. And I know that without you and your forgiveness, I would be nothing. Thank you that your Holy Spirit lives in me, guaranteeing me that I am truly yours. You know what the world can do? The world can do whatever they want to do. How many of you remember when you were in the world, there was no conviction? You know why? There was no deposit. There was no guarantee that you truly were His. So I can say this to you today confidently. I believe this with all my heart. If you can live any way you want to live and there's no conviction, you're not truly born again. Bottom line. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and He's molding you into the dwelling place of God, here's the thing. Sin will not be tolerated. God has not changed His stance on sin. Can I help everybody out? I'll just say it like this. You can use whatever topic you want to. How about that? If it was sin to God at any time, and He defined it as sin or an abomination or something that described it like that, watch me. It's still sin. It's still sin. I don't care how you try to justify it, it's still sin. That's just free. Go ahead and write that down. The Holy Spirit is our deposit, guaranteeing us that we belong to God. How do we know we belong to God? Because He lives inside of us, and He will not let us be what we used to be. We have that guarantee of the Spirit molding us into who God wants us to be. So He's our guide. He's our guarantee. Anybody tired of listening to this yet? I'm just about to get fired up. He's our guide, our guarantee. Romans chapter 8. Flip over there if you would. Go back to Acts. You'll find it. Romans, take a right. Chapter 8. Not only is our guide and our guarantee, He's our go-between. Look at Romans chapter 8. I hear you flipping. I'll wait for you. He says it's in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I just want to stop there for a second. If you think that you got it all figured out and you're standing, be very careful. Weakness. How many of you understand that while we are in the state of hope, that's what he says in the verses before this, we're hoping for the salvation that's to be revealed in Christ. While we're in our state of hope, we're in a state of weakness. Why? Because our spirit, our born-again man, is willing, but our flesh is so weak. Right? Now, we can't admit that in church, Pastor. Everybody's going to wonder what's going on. Nobody's going to wonder what's going on if we all admit it. Huh? Is this not a place of redemption? It's a place of redemption. Here's the thing. Understand. I would to God that the church would stop hiding things and just get honest. We all struggle. We're in a weak state, in the state of hope. We're clinging by faith to Jesus Christ and Him returning to redeem us. And while we're clinging, watch this, people, pay attention, because you don't know how to do this at church. You ever notice everybody's okay at church? How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
No, you're not. You liar. I saw you and your wife fighting out in the parking lot before you got in. I'm glad you cut it off when you did, because she was about to whip your tail. You're weak. We need the Holy Spirit's strength, right? Watch, he's talking to the church here, right? Right? Okay, so these guys were weak. Wouldn't that tell us something? We're probably going to struggle and be weak in ourselves and in our flesh. So he says it's in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to do. We don't have the strength. We can't figure out what we got to do next. We do not know what we ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Let me tell you what this is not talking about for those of you who are Pentecostal here today. This is not talking about speaking in tongues. He's talking about groans. He's talking about the fact that these are groans that even if you heard them, you wouldn't even understand them. Even if you heard them, you couldn't even make sense out of it. He's saying they're not tangible. What he's saying is, he's saying this, that the Spirit in your weakness, why would he be groaning? How many of you groan when everything's going good? How many of you groan when things don't hurt? No, we groan when things hurt. He's saying this. Pay attention to what the passage is teaching us. He's saying the Spirit's hurting for you too in your weakness. And what He's doing in your weakness, because God knows this, folks. God knows sometimes we're so weak, we don't even know how to pray. Why? Because we're so limited to our sinful flesh. Limited by it. And He says this, but the Spirit's not. And the Spirit, who is compassionate toward you, is groaning for you. So you don't have to worry, because He is your go-between. When you don't even know what to pray, you don't even know how to approach God, you've messed up so bad, you're struggling so bad, are you listening to any born-again believer here today? He says this, the Spirit sees your weakness. And I know what you thought, because you've been trying to hide it for years. He was mad at you.
No, He's groaning for you.
He's hurting with you. He's bearing your struggle. He's bearing your pain. And what is He doing with it? He's taking it to the throne of God for you when you can't get there on your own. I'm thankful here today that the Spirit is my go-between. That I don't have to depend on any person for anything. But even when I don't even know what to pray, I don't even know how to approach God, it says the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. In those times, you can't even pray that God's will be done. The Spirit's praying for you. In those times where you're hurting, you've lost that loved one, you've received that diagnosis, you don't know what to do. You have a go-between. What a blessing! And it's not a substitute teacher. When Jesus told His disciples, I'm coming to you and I'm going to place in you a comforter, He says, an alas in the Greek, that is one like me. It is me in spirit, not a substitute. And so Jesus' Spirit living in us as our go-between ought to comfort us. You ever been so upset? So broken? So humiliated? None of you good church folks. You ever felt so dirty? So awful? Can I give you hope for that moment right here? The Spirit, if you're a child of God, listen to me, is groaning with you. I promise you this, before you get to the altar this morning and try to verbalize your repentance to God, the Spirit is already verbalizing for you, praying that you would be led into repentance and into the peace that God provides us through that Spirit. He's our guide, our guarantee, our go-between. And lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's made His dwelling in us, and what a blessing it is, so that He can be our guide, our guarantee, our go-between. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Did I say 2? Chapter 1. Y'all laugh. I got number Lexia. I made that up in case you're wondering. Watch what he says here. Let's look at verse 13. He says, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. He's writing to Timothy, teaching about being sound in his teaching and his doctrine, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Now he's going to give him some huge responsibility here. And let me say this, I know the weight of this responsibility. I understand what he's about to say. I'm thankful for the last part. Watch what he says at first. He says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. You leave me with responsibility of guarding the testimony of Christ that's been entrusted with me. He said, I've given you sound teaching. I've talked to you about faith and love in Christ. And that deposit, he said, guard that. What about when I have a bad day, Lord? Y'all ever know I have bad days too? Huh? I know y'all don't believe that, because y'all think that they just put me away in a closet and I study the Bible all week long. And then I pray, and then I get out to come up here and deliver this to you. That's not really how it works. Watch what he says here. He said, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Watch what he says. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That here's the thing. The deposit that has been placed in me, the promises of God through Jesus Christ, the gospel message, the testimony of what He's done. Watch this. I don't have to secure that by myself. He says, guard that thing with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Here's the thing. I have a guardian who is guarding the gospel message that lives inside of me. I love that. Because here's the thing. Guess what? You know what? in my life, y'all pay attention, there's been days I just don't feel saved. Anybody here? No, dude, we're not going to sit down in church, preacher. You mean you doubt? And you become weak? Yes, and aren't you glad that I don't have to worry about guarding this thing by myself, that the Holy Spirit is always there to guard the salvation that I have been entrusted with. And I'm thankful that when my guardian surrounds me and the gates of hell attack me and all the doubt that Satan wants to throw at me, when the battle is over, I stand to my feet more or less. He raises me to my feet. And when He raises me to my feet, He surrounds me by His guardianship because He is my true guardian, guarding the deposit that has been entrusted to me, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That is my hope and is my strength. So when you feel weak, He's guarding. And not just on the front side. You know what a guardian does? The guardian walks the perimeter. He's making sure I'm good all the way around. Every attack that Satan brings my way, the guardian is watching me. The guardian has sealed me. The guardian has guaranteed me. There is nothing that is going to happen to me because He is in control of me. Praise and honor and glory to the Lamb who sent His Spirit to live inside of me. That God would even, for whatever reason, desire to make His dwelling in Kirk Hall blows me away. But you talk about really getting in on a blessing when I start to get the fact that He does live inside of me. And that He has made His dwelling in me, and that He is my guide, and He is my guarantee, and He is my go-between, and He is my guardian for all eternity. That's a blessing that I can't even put in words. So many times, people, listen to me. So many times, we neglect that blessing. We neglect to praise God for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We neglect to walk in the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We neglect to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And look what we forfeit when we do. So I ask you this as a close. Do you have God's great blessing of the Holy Spirit inside of you? Do you have the blessing of God's Holy Spirit inside of you? Here's the thing. If you're not born again, I'll tell you this today. You don't. You don't. So if you're not born again today and the Spirit does not dwell in you, you do not have a guide, you do not have a guarantee, you do not have a go-between, and you do not have a guardian over your soul. But today my prayer is this, that same Holy Spirit who we're talking about for the first time speaks to your heart and draws you to a God who sent His only Son to die for you so that He could rescue you this very day. Maybe you're here and you're a believer. You say, Kirk, I'm a believer.
But you just don't understand. I was raised in a denomination where we didn't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad you're out of that mess?
Oh, I'm not asking you to get kooky, man. There's some kooks out there in the charismatic movement who they call things the Spirit. Their spirits are right, but they're not the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is this. Don't let those things make you afraid of the true Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Don't miss out on what He's offered us in Christ as our guide, as our guardian, as our guarantee, as our deliverer. So maybe you're here today and you have to get honest as a believer and say, Pastor, I'm not yielding to the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm quenching Him at every turn. I don't like what He's telling me, therefore I ain't being obedient. Y'all country, y'all know what I just said. I ain't being obedient. Not doing what I need to do. Today I pray that you would humble yourself before God. If you're a believer, you know that's where you are. And say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, because I promise you this. Listen to me. The only Jesus on this earth, are you listening? Is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Son has ascended. You want to go back and read it? We'll go back and read it. The Son has ascended and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So understand this, that the Holy Spirit is who God has left you to be your guide, to be your guarantee, to be the things that we talked about today. If you neglect that, you're wandering aimlessly as a believer. Today, that needs to stop. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here this morning and you say, Kurt, I know I'm a believer. I know I have been born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I have been neglecting the gift of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm not yielding to Him in an area that He's convicting me of. That means you're quenching Him in your life. I'm not yielding to the conviction that He's bringing on my heart about this issue or that issue, whatever it is. I'm not the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you right now if you're a believer, I guarantee you. I invite you to come before this altar. I invite you at your seat where you are to humble yourself before God. He would raise you up today with the power of the Holy Spirit to walk out from whatever it is that He's showing you you need to let go of. Maybe you're a believer and you say, Kirk, it's been a long time since I just praised God for the Holy Spirit. I just got caught up in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship that I have with God because He lives inside of me. Do you know it would be impossible for you to fellowship with God without the Holy Spirit living inside of you? It's your go-between. Listen, don't take that for granted this morning. Celebrate that like you never have before. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know that I truly know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I don't believe the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. But I hear a voice that I've never heard before telling me that I need to repent of my sin and I need to turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I don't hear that voice with my ears. I hear that voice with my heart, and He's drawing me out of my old life to receive new life, forgiveness, eternal life with Him in heaven. And I desire today to surrender my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior and as a sacrifice for my sin. If you're here and you say, that's me, would you raise up your hand? I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Say, that's me, Pastor. I need Jesus to save me this morning. Raise it up high where I can see you, where I can pray for you. I need Jesus to save me so that God will dwell inside of me and the Holy Spirit can lead me and guide me into the things that God has in store for me. Anyone like that who says that to me? I need Jesus to save me this morning. Raise it up high where I can see you. As the music begins to play, I pray that you would be obedient for whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do this morning. Could love.